This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu, 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 Allahu.
Welcome to Heart and Soul with me, Lauren Booth. Your place to reflect. Who was the Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him? What were his habits? What were his mannerisms? Joining me today to get some beautiful answers to these wonderful questions is Sheikh Omar Suleiman. Sheikh Omar's journey of seeking knowledge started in 2000 in the United Arab Emirates, where he studied at the feet of prestigious scholars such as Sheikh Tariq ibn Rajah. Sheikh Omar has a bachelor's degree in Islamic studies, a master's degree in Islamic finance, and is currently pursuing a PhD in Islamic studies. He previously served as an imam in New Orleans for 6 years and has since dedicated himself to full-time teaching. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
People today have a very distorted idea of who the Prophet, peace be upon him, was, or no idea. That's the majority of humanity. That is their condition. And then you have a group of around the fifth of humanity who are in love with him and who, just hearing his name, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can weep. Why is there this massive division, and how can we overcome it? With what information do we have to unite these two visions correctly?
Well, I think that, you know, interestingly enough, when you look at the history of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of how he's been viewed through the lens of various scholars, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was always viewed in the most admirable fashion. In fact, if you could attack his message in history, no one dared to really attack his character. Even his enemies in his time could not really find any flaw in his character. And they readily admitted that. And one thing that I tell people all the time is that those that are attacking the character of the Prophet, peace be upon him, today are not, you know, scholars or historians or anything by any means. They're not academics. The people that attack him are, you know, Islamophobes that tend to not have much of an education, that tend to not know much about him. And they're playing to the ignorance of people about who he is. And so this is actually a very unique form of Islamophobia that we're facing today, historically speaking, you know, of attacking his character. I think when you look at him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find that his character was beautiful. It was impressive. There was no way, if you study his life, to accuse him of fabrication or at least to accuse him of fabrication for the sake of worldly gain. He was humble. As he became more authoritative in the religion and in the political mm-hmm. sense, as his religion grew, he only became poorer. He only became more humble. His clothes only became more shabby. Nothing changed about him. And this is the beauty of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is that many people change with their circumstances. One of our great scholars, Imam al-Qurtubi, he said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was tested with all forms of circumstances in this world, and he demonstrated an amazing consistency of humility and modesty and a precious smile and you know, modest circumstances. So when he was in poverty, you know, he demonstrated grace. When he was wealthy before Islam, with his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, he demonstrated the utmost grace and gratitude. When he was in Mecca persecuted, he demonstrated grace. When he was in Medina and he was in power, he was the same human being. So you don't find in any of the narrations of the Prophet, peace be upon him, you know, that when he was in Mecca, he was this way, but then once he got to Medina, he became like this. You know, it's even from his wives, there's absolutely no change in his personality, despite having Yes.
Let's talk about those early days then, when he was married for the first time to Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, a wealthy import and export magnate, we'd call her now. In the whole region, her name would have been known, and her wealth was well known, and her management skills would have been known. And he was really a humble merchant at the time. What was it that drew this wealthy lady's eye to someone fairly humble?
Right. Well, this is precisely it. When you look at the Prophet, peace be upon him, he managed... So he was an orphan. I mean, he was an orphan, he was poor. And subhanAllah, it's amazing because he faced literally just death at every point in his life. So he's born into a world without a father. His mom dies at 6. His grandfather takes him in. His grandfather dies when he's 9. His uncle takes him in. He has really never known a stable household. He was, you know, someone, and in that society, orphans were treated quite harshly. He's taken in by his uncle Abu Talib, and he wants to help Abu Talib with his in his business. Abu Talib is also very poor, in quite a bit of poverty, and he ends up being a shepherd of sheep on the outskirts of Mecca for a few years. Then he ends up taking a job as a broker, right, where he's sort of matching merchants and managing the goods of merchants and things of that sort. And he demonstrates such dignity and such modesty, and that he's able to ascend the ranks by his character, not by any other means, not by his wealth and not by authority, but by his character. He's able to really draw the attention of everyone in his society, which is quite powerful and profound, that without any of the circumstances, in a highly tribalistic society that's where there are clear demarcations of socioeconomic class, the Prophet, peace be upon him, is able to ascend those ranks solely by his character, alayhi salam.
Can you give us an example?
Absolutely. So his truthfulness, his trustworthiness, you know, it's absolutely amazing. And that's what actually drew Khadija to him, was first and foremost his how trustworthy he was. And we know that, you know, it's the harder, you know, or the more that we progress as people, the harder it is to find trustworthy people, isn't it? And so finding someone trustworthy is very difficult. And actually, the Prophet, peace be upon him, himself, he alluded to that. He said people are like like camels. You know, out of 100 of them, you can rarely find one that you can really depend on. And so he is actually that dependable human being, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so even what we find in Mecca, even when they were persecuting him, the same people that were persecuting him did not find anyone more trustworthy than him to watch their belongings. So while they're persecuting him, they'd still leave their precious belongings with him. And he obliged to the point that when he ran away from them, they had a bounty on his head as he was escaping Mecca. And he left Ali, his son-in-law, or his cousin, who would become his son-in-law, he left them behind, radiallahu anhu, to go and return all of those people's possessions to them. And it took them 3 days to go find everyone that had left their belongings with him, even as they were persecuting him. So his trustworthiness was, and that's why his nickname was As-Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful one and the trustworthy one, was something that was well known throughout society.
And when he came to prophecy, when the prophecy began to weigh upon him and be given to him in dynamic fashions, the people turned on him. And give us some examples, please, Sheikh, of the way that the Prophet, peace be upon him, would react to taunting and mockery, because this is a time, you know, that the psychologists talk about your resting personality and your under stress personality. Now, it's easy to be nice. Hey, he's such a nice guy. She's such a nice lady. And then something happens at work and they're throwing things. Okay. So what is the Prophet's under stress default position?
You know, one of the great rabbis who would accept Islam, there were a few of them that accepted Islam, the two chief rabbis of Medina, actually. One of them was Abdullah bin Salam, and the other one was a man by the name of Zayd bin Sa'na. And both of them spoke of these prophecies of the Prophet, peace be upon him, within the Torah. And Zayd bin Sa'na, particularly, what he said was that what was written about the coming Prophet was that, yasbiqu hilmahu jahla, that his forbearance is greater than his anger. And the more anger you show towards him, the more beauty he would show towards you. And that was truly the Prophet, peace be upon him, that the more aggressive people became with him, the more his humility and his modesty shined.
Now, I want to hear that story. I have to stop you there because I really want to hear that story. Let me see how much of it I can get correct, inshallah. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was walking with Umar, radiallahu anhum, and a rabbi approached him and shook the Prophet by his clothing and accused him of not paying a debt. Can you complete that for us or correct that for us, inshallah?
Yes. So Zayd ibn Sa'da, you know, came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Medina. So realize the Prophet, peace be upon him, is in charge. He's an authority in Medina, you know. And he came up to, so the Prophet could have easily harmed him. He came up to him and he shook him, as you said. And he said that, you know, that the Prophet, peace be upon him, owed him a debt and that he didn't pay it on time. Now, the Prophet, peace be upon him, purposely used to do business with non-Muslims and loan and trade and so on and so forth as a means of building that trust and building that camaraderie. So even up until his death, actually, he would go into business transactions with particularly the Jewish population of Medina, whatever it was, to encourage that, you know, that humanity and that camaraderie. So when Zayd ibn Sa'da walked up to him and started to insult him and his family, and in fact the debt had not been due, you know, for another week, the Prophet, peace be upon him, you know, could have really, you know, come down on him very hard. Umar was with the Prophet, peace be upon him, Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him. And he was so angry with the way that Zayd attacked the Prophet, peace be upon him, that he stood up and he asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, for permission to basically kill him, you know, for what he had done. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, told him to sit down, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, actually told him, he said that this isn't what we wanted from you, O Umar, this isn't how you should have dealt with the situation. He said, so take him to the treasury and give him 20 pounds of dates for the harm that you caused him, and then give him the 20 that's owed to him. So for you responding the way that you did, you need to pay him, and you need to also give him back what's due to him. So Umar's walking with him, and Zayd ibn Sa'da tells him, do you know who I am? And Umar says, I don't know who you are, and I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
And he told him that I'm Zayd ibn Sa'da. And Umar was shocked. He said, Zayd ibn Sa'da, you know, we've heard your name. You're the scholar of the Jews. You're the rabbi of the Jews. Why would you act like in such a foolish manner? So he told him that there were signs of prophethood in him that were apparent to me. But there was one that I had to test for myself, and that was that his forbearance exceeds his anger, and the more anger you show towards him, the more his forbearance shines, the more forbearance he responds to you with. And so Zayd ibn Sa'da actually accepted Islam, and he gave half of his wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he embraced the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his message. And so that was the character of the Prophet, peace be upon him. The more you assaulted him, the more you attacked him, the more beauty you would see from him. And what I always tell people is that, you know, what Islamophobes try to do, and we actually had a big fallout a few years ago with Pope Benedict, where he read a medieval text, right, which suggested that the Prophet, peace be upon him, became violent when he became an authority. So when he was under persecution, he was kind and gentle, but then once he had the power, then suddenly he unleashed his wrath, which could not be further from the truth, historically speaking. So when he was in Mecca, what we find is that usually when a minority becomes frustrated and persecuted, that's when they respond with violence, right? In Mecca, his followers wanted to respond with violence. This is well documented. They wanted to attack. And in fact, when the people from Medina came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, in Mecca, when he was living in persecution, and I would argue most Muslims don't know this, they came to visit him, and it was during the days of pilgrimage. So the Meccans were unarmed, and 500 people from Medina secretly met the Prophet, peace be upon him, to take the pledge with him. And they told the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was during the pilgrimage, they said, if you want, we can ambush the Meccans now, and we can take them all out. I mean, we're 500 men, and we can take them out, because they're not suspecting right now. They're not armed. And we can do this now. And this, we're talking before the Hijrah, even before the migration. And the Prophet ﷺ responded, and he says, "Ma umirna bidalik, ad umirtu bil'afu." He said, "We have not been commanded to act in such a way, Rather, I was commanded to act with forgiveness, with the spirit of forgiveness. So that's when he's in Mecca. In Medina, he's never an aggressor towards the innocent. He frequently shows more mercy to the captives of war and so on and so forth. And then when he conquers Mecca, reconquers Mecca after being persecuted and run out of it, he demonstrates one of the greatest acts of tolerance that's been known to the history of man.
A perfect time to take a break. We'll be back after this. They question why she wears that on her hair and face. Why they pray 5 times a day. Go out and teach just one. If you are a believer, surely a believer, this one is going out to you. Sister, don't be afraid to wear your hijab. Brothers, don't be ashamed to grow your beard. Believers, be proud to express your way of the light. Cause being a believer, it's a beautiful thing. Won't you listen to me, believer? Whoa, yeah. Sometimes it may be that you were a victim to a verbal abuse, but you have to let go all your hatred inside. It's an obligation upon you and me to convey this message the best of our ability. So go out and teach just one. If you are a believer, yeah. Whoa, whoa. It's going up to you, sister. Don't be afraid to wear your hijab. Shame to grow your beard. Believer, be proud to express your way of a life. Cause being a believer is a beautiful thing. Whoa, hey, 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 I wanna sing it right now. Oh, won't you listen to me, believer? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Don't you know the storm is coming soon? Don't you know the storm is coming soon? Don't you know the storm is coming soon? If you don't want to get wet, you better get inside. The storm is coming soon. Don't you know the storm is coming soon? Don't you know the storm is coming soon? If you don't want to get wet, we better get it right. Cause we have to unite among each other. Stop the fight. Where did we go wrong?
And how did we forget where we belong?
Where we belong?
Can someone tell me where did we go wrong?
Hey!
And how did we forget where we belong? We better wake up soon before the storm comes upon us.
Hey,
we better wake up soon before the storm comes upon us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Sharing his gems of knowledge with us today is Sheikh Omar Suleiman. Before the break, we were about to hear about one of the greatest acts of benevolence in history. Please, Sheikh, introduce us to that act.
So when the Prophet, peace be upon him, returned to Mecca, and many of the scholars of the Bible actually say that this is actually what's predicted, what's prophesied in the Bible of a prophet returning to Paran, which is Mecca, with 10,000 saints. He enters into Mecca with 10,000 companions. And Prophet, peace be upon him, is entering into Mecca after having lost pretty much all of his family to persecution and to battle and to the pain that was inflicted upon him by the people of Mecca that ran him out. The expectation of everyone is that, you know, he's going to take his revenge, his justified revenge on the people of Mecca that have attacked Medina over and over and over again after running him out of Mecca. And in fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, as he surrounds Mecca, after the Meccans broke a treaty with the people of Medina, one of the companions, he says that today is the day of Malhama, which means today is the day of slaughter. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, no, today is the day of Marhama, which means today is the day of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually took the banner from that companion and gave it to his son instead, just for making that statement that today is going to be a day of slaughter. And he reaches out to the people of Mecca, and it's amazing. His uncle, Abbas, tells him that, you know, Abu Sufyan, who has persecuted you many, many, many times, you know, Abu Sufyan was one of the people that rallied against the Prophet, peace be upon him, for 2 decades. He says that, you know, he's a proud man. He said that he's a leader of his people. And he said that, you know, and you know, the discussion is not about whether or not he should kill him, because that's not an option. He says that, you know, maybe you should recognize his leadership amongst the people. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, comes into Mecca, and he has his nose touching the back of his riding beast to show humility. And he starts to call out that whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan is safe, and whoever shuts his door is safe, and whoever puts down their arms is safe, and everyone is safe so long as they don't attack. And he says the same words of the Prophet Yusuf, the Prophet Joseph, alayhi salam, with his brothers, La tathrib alaykum al-yawm, there is no blame upon you today. Wow. You are completely forgiven. May Allah forgive you, and may He forgive us. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, does not take revenge on the people of Mecca, and he doesn't even force them to convert to Islam. Many people accepted Islam seeing this act of benevolence. Many, many, many people. But he did not force them, and he did not make that a condition upon them. And so if there's anyone that wants to say that the Prophet, peace be upon him, is bloodthirsty or make that argument, he could have come back to Mecca as a triumphant, justified warrior in taking vengeance on all the people that had inflicted that harm and run him out of his home and inflicted harm on his family and truly caused the deaths of most of his family members. He could have really taken that revenge, but instead he chose benevolence and chose to leave an example for all of us that this is the character of Islam, that this is who we are. You know, we are not a people that respond to injustice with injustice, but we respond with mercy and justice. And so that's his example, and that's his legacy amongst us.
Sheikh, thank you very, very much for those enlightening examples of the beauty of the personality of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. O Allah, on this day, grant us wisdom and awareness. Keep us away from foolishness and pretension. Grant us a share in every blessing you send. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh. You've been listening to Heart and Soul. Until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum.